Yeah, we do have other business. All right, Vicky, whenever you're ready, you can call it to order.
Next, I'm going to call the MetroCog regular meeting of May 28th, 2026. Can we all stand with heads?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That's just pledging allegiance. I think we've got that.
Very well coordinated.
This one was good. This second was even better.
Okay, Matt, can you tell it all for us,
I can. First select person, Vitali, Town of Fairfield.
Good morning.
Morning, Christine. Thank you. First selectman, Rooney, Town of
Here.
Monroe. Ken Flato, proxy mayor, Ganem, City of Bridgeport.
Yeah.
And first selectman, Tesoro, Town of Trumbull.
I am here.
We have a quorum.
Okay. So, Matt, do we have anyone for public participation this
We
morning?
do not.
Okay, so let's move on to item number three, which is the approval of the March 26, 26 minutes. Can I have a motion to approve those minutes, please?
So
So,
moved.
all right,
One
we'll have
second.
Terry and then we'll have Christina as a second.
Great. Okay,
Everyone
thank
waits and says at the same time.
you.
Any discussion? Hearing none, can I have a vote to approve those minutes, please?
So moved.
Hi.
Aye.
Yes.
I moved
Unanimous?
this. I moved it,
You
but
moved?
I should have voted for it.
Oh.
But You voted. We'll take the movement as a
Take the
vote.
movement as a vote.
Yeah.
Okay.
The complex item
Yeah.
second. I
Make
know.
sure we get it right.
I know. You're right.
Let's move to our complex items now, which would be the one action item on our agenda, which is item number four, fiscal year 2027, MetroCog Health Benefits Attachment B. Matt?
You want to do a motion in a second? I'm going to just talk with me.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. Can I have a motion to approve that, please?
So moved.
So moved.
And a second, thank you.
Well, the opposite way. Thank you, Christine. Yeah, so this, we do this annually. This is our MetroCog employee health benefits. We work with our consultant, Acrisure, to go through. They go to the market every year for us and do a pull from the market of all the available plans. As shown in the attachment on page 9, they did pull a few plans from our current provider, Anthem, as well as two Oxford plans. It comes out that our existing plan, with an increase of about 15%, is by far the best one. I know it's not great, but it's better. I will say, when talking to our health consultant, he had people in our same kind of small group role with 45-65% increases. So I kind of felt like 15 was not too bad. It is a lot, but it's considering the increases everywhere else. We typically have a relatively low utilization of our deductible. We're relatively young and healthy, so I think that has helped us over the years in terms of keeping our increases less than what he sees in the market in a lot of places. But so the recommendation is to keep our existing plan structure and our existing provider of Anthem.
Albeit that plan is about the best plan. That is
It
Health
is.
Insurance 1990. It's a really good plan.
That's good.
It just blows my mind that we're celebrating
15%
15%.
increases. It's insane.
Well, we know what happened with the Connecticut Partnership Plan as well, that we're in
Yes.
both the town and the Board of Ed. I think you are as well.
12.5% increase last year. What did you say?
Well, it was 15 and they
They got,
reduced it.
they gave a little bit of,
They
they
gave
got a little bit of money from the state.
I think it's double price for
But
us.
no, it's yes, everything's just ridiculous. But that too is a Cadillac plan, so
Yeah.
pay
It
for
is
it.
a Cadillac plan, yeah.
And to the chair, I
Can
will
we
say,
look at this
just
plan?
for the record, on the partnership plan, we use Siegel and Company, and we analyzed, okay, is it time to consider leaving the partnership plan? And they were like, you're going to get a higher increase on any of the self-insured.
We did the
Yeah.
same.
Yeah. And we actually looked at the partnership plan a couple different times, and it would almost double our costs because, yeah, just because of the way that plan is structured in the what your all-in amount is. If we used our entire deductible, if our current plan would cost more, but because we don't, we use usually typically between 20 and 28% of our overall deductible across all employees. We save a significant amount of money there, whereas the partnership requires you to basically pay that every month. So if we got to a point where we were kind of more even on that utilization, it is something we will continue to look at every year. But right now, it would cost us about twice as much as what we pay currently on an annual basis for healthcare.
Well, that's, I think we were all battling that this year, that people, whatever insurance,
Whatever, it doesn't matter.
whatever insurance, and we did the same thing. We went out to an independent consultant to
Yeah.
look at it, and they said,
There's
you're
nothing,
not going to
you're not
find
going to find
anything
any better.
better than this, or figure it's just going to cost you a lot more.
Yeah.
So, okay. Any more discussion about this action item? If not, bring that to a vote. And all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Unanimous.
Great.
Okay, let's move to item number five, discussion items, and we'll go to item A, fiscal year 2027 draft budget, which is attachment C.
Yep, attachment C. So we have our projected for 2026, as well as our budget for our proposed budget for 2027. This is just a draft. We will bring it to the board in June for a full formal approval. We wanted to provide it this month in order to give you some time to review it. Colleen, I'll turn it over to Finance Director Colleen Kelleher for a quick discussion on it.
Yep. So we have no new grants for next year planned. We do plan on spending our AAOP and our DECD bar grant, which we haven't spent anything yet this year for it. We got a $400,000 increase in regional services grant funding, and that's going to cover stormwater and housing. And then on our expenses, our consultant expenses are fully reimbursed, so that goes in the revenue and out in expenses. We expect to hire one or two more planners to add to our staff. We do anticipate a deficit this year because of the Puro legal costs. We budgeted $70,000 and we spent 221. WestCog is helping us with that though, so that'll offset some of those costs. But other than that, I mean, no real changes from this year.
Yeah. Any discussion? Yep.
The chair, a little surprised to hear that number because I thought we were being briefed, but I never heard of it that high. I predicted that, as you know,
I think
earlier.
you missed the last meeting where we brought that up.
Yeah, you weren't glad.
The exposure to cost, but happy that the community is helping us to bear with the costs because we were adamant about not doing that. But I did want to ask you a question. So on the legal services on the legal services line, I
Yes.
guess my only question is, given all the stuff out there, was that a little light to reduce the overall
Well,
coverage?
I think you're going to talk about that a little bit in the executive session.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
We just let the minutes reflect that Mayor Chess,
Yes.
1024.
Yes. Thank
Thank
you.
you. Welcome.
You
No problem. Thank you for joining.
We were waiting patiently for you. Yeah.
Yeah, so again, we will bring this for formal adoption in June. Oh, Christine, go ahead, please.
Just under the direct revenue for WPCA personnel,
Yes.
it looks like you might be missing just a in the last column. There's no, at least the copy that I'm
Oh,
looking
yeah,
at.
so that was, and I can, Mark might
This
be able to. So that was a project that we did with your WPCA last year. We had about $5,000 that they had for us to help with some mapping of their utility
yeah.
network.
It's just included in
Yeah,
that.
so that was only in 2026. We don't currently have any agreement with them for work next year. That's why that is zeroed out.
It's just
I'm
in there.
just saying in
For
the
the
last column.
projection. So that's in there right now in this budget so that you can see the projections for fiscal year 2026.
Yeah, we should add a dash there or a
Yeah.
negative.
That's it.
Yep,
Oh, no
we'll add
worries.
that in for next for June.
Yeah, just
Yep.
that's it. Just a correction for that.
No,
Thank
no
you.
problem. Thank
Thank
you.
you.
Okay. Any more discussion? That will move on to item B, which is the 2027 Eagle View Flood.
Yeah, so this is something we've done with all of you over the last since what
13.
2013, we've been doing this every 3 years. So Eagle View is a company that was purchased or purchased pictometry. I forget who did what, whatever. So these are the aerial flights that we've conducted every 3 years for our region. That the state is doing a full statewide flight that looks straight down on all the buildings. The pictometry is the one that basically gives you a 360 degree view of every building in your town. It's something that the assessors continually use on a regular basis to evaluate properties. So we've done this every year, every 3 years, basically. And the agreement is a 3 year agreement where we have access. They do the flight next. If we sign this and move forward, they'll do a flight next spring, and then your towns will have access to that data for the next 3 years. What we've done before, and again, this is just for discussion. We'll bring it for formal adoption in June if it's something you all want to move forward with. What we've done previously is MetroCog will cover the first year of that cost. So they break out the costs into 3 years. What is it? Is it
the total cost is 71,000.
71,000 total over 3 years. So we usually, MetroCog will pick up the first $22,000 or $23,000 for the first year, and then we split the remaining balance over 2 years that we then invoice you all for. And we can give a breakdown in June of what those costs are for what will be fiscal year 28 and fiscal year 29. But it's just a continuation of the same mapping that we've done since 2013 that has been heavily utilized by all of your staff. And we've actually, I will say, we've done some add-ons to this flight where the company has gone in and done some change analysis. I know the city of Bridgeport, I believe, did it. I think the town of Fairfield did it as well.
And Trumbull,
where they look at the old flights. Because we have concurrent flights every 3 years, they can go back through and look at any changes that happened over a 12, 14 year period. And the assessors have used that to find things that weren't permitted, buildings, pools, sheds, those types of things, to recoup additional assessment dollars. For projects that didn't get permitted and were not part of the assessment. So it has been, I think, a very beneficial program and shared service that we provide in coordination with all of you.
Thank you.
So just want to bring it out there now. As I said, we'll bring a formal resolution in June, but just wanted to put it on everyone's radar this month.
Great. Any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, let's move on to item C, which is the regional POCD.
Yep. So as I mentioned previously, we are updating our plan of conservation development. I had sent you all after the last meeting the goals and objectives for the various topic areas. We are currently kind of finalizing all the narratives. We are also compiling short videos of each of the sections to kind of for both public consumption as well as to provide kind of engagement for staff and you all, if necessary, on kind of the high level topics and high level kind of goals for each of the different sub areas that we're working on. So working on those videos now, they will be posted to our website and put out through our social media channels. And as I said, we're also finalizing all the narratives. So we hope to have a draft in the next month or two, but Megan, I'll turn it over to you if you have anything else to add.
Julie, videos came out of one of our focus groups. Someone suggested that we have some engagement with the P&Z commissions. And after talking with, you know, your staff, it was kind of decided like a video that explained everything would be the best way of going about that. But the group, all the different focus groups are reviewing the narrative right now and or a lot of the narratives, and we're integrating the comments.
Should we add anything about the public comment period?
Yeah, we will. So by statute, we're required to have a 60-day public comment period for the draft POCD. So we will be putting that out and putting notices in the papers and providing you all with a link to that to put out through your channels once we're ready to do that. And then subsequent to that 60-day period is when we will bring it to you all for adoption.
Great. Okay. Any more discussion on that? Okay, let's move to item D, which is the Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy update.
Yeah, so as we talked about last month, we are updating our SEDs. We did this last in 2021.
Yeah, I think we got a formal adoption in 2022.
2022, yeah. Yep. So we are updating that. Noah Miller, one of our planning staff, is working heavily on that with Patrick. For the previous plan, we utilized the BRBC's Economic Development Subcommittee as the kind of the strategy committee. We will be utilizing, and we talked with NVCOG, they recently did one. They utilized the board as that strategy committee. We're going to bring in some other folks too, like Dan and Offio from BRBC and some others. But we're going to be using you all as the official strategy committee. I think it makes more sense to do it that way. So we'll continue to bring you updates over the next couple months on that. And when we have a draft together, we'll obviously provide it to you all. wall with a summary to review. But it's really just a regional economic development strategy, providing, looking at kind of the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats within the region from the economic development perspective, and understanding kind of where we can position ourselves and what we can do to continue to increase the economic development potential within our region. And also does allow us to access U.S. EDA funds, Economic Development Administration. You have to have an active SEDS plan in order to access some of their funding mechanisms, so that this having this plan updated and approved will provide access to those funds as well.
Okay, any more discussion? Okay, let's move on to E, which is Safe Streets for All, and a grant update.
Yeah, so Safe Streets for All, we were awarded that through the competitive solicitation with Federal Highways Administration, USDOT. We do have a consultant under contract now.
Getting
almost there. Well, consultant selected that we're finalizing the scope and fee for this project. But if you remember, this project is looking at all the state routes in our region, identifying the highest injury locations and highest injury networks. We'll be doing some planning, which we've already been doing internally. The other piece is to, with those 15 high crash locations and high crash corridors, our consultant will be putting together preliminary designs for demonstration projects in those areas. So those things can be like curb bump outs to reduce or to increase turning radius and make people slow down at turns, lighting, crosswalk improvements, those types of things that can be done quickly, but also not permanent. So we will be working with our consultant to design those in coordination with you and your staff in various locations. We're looking to get at least one location in every municipality designed. And then the second phase of that project will be the actual implementation of the demonstration projects on the street. Those have to go through a whole process with Connecticut DOT and the district for approval, because, again, we are focusing solely on the state-owned roads within our region. So that will be a process that we're undertaking for the first time with a consultant. So we'll see how that goes. But we've been assured that DOT and the district is ready to move quickly on reviewing and approving these projects to get them in the ground. And we're hopeful to have one batch of projects in the ground for 2027 and then a second batch of projects in the ground for 2028. Okay, thanks. And we can let the minutes show that First Selectman Lent, Town of Easton, has joined the meeting as well.
I didn't even see it just came in.
So as far as that grant, you're going to reach out to each of the towns?
Yeah, we've already kind of sent information to engineering staff and public works. Yep, and we'll continue to do so as we kind of hone in on the projects and the designs. We will be working directly with staff at the municipal level to make sure that we have the right locations and the treatments that are being proposed are supported by the town.
Okay. Any more discussion? Okay. Not let's go on to the housing bill.
Yeah, so as we mentioned before, and I think I talked to some of you, unfortunately, the extension of the zoning update deadline that was in legislation that was passed out of the House did not pass through the Senate for some political reasons we won't get into here. So that zoning update, the zoning revision requirement for July 1 is still in force. We did do interviews and have selected a consultant to help with zoning assistance at the municipal level that we will be providing the funding for. So it's no cost to the towns to utilize this consultant for zoning. I know a number of the municipalities have already kind of moved on updating their zoning, at least at the base level, to adhere to the new new regulations. Although I do think likely there will be some need for additional zoning modifications to kind of tweak what you all are doing locally to adhere to the July 1 deadline. So we're hopeful that consultant can be a resource for your municipalities as you continue to update the zoning regulations in accordance with the housing bill. And we will have them under contract hopefully next week or two to start that collaboration with your planning staff and zoning commissions. And again, that is something that we'll be using the state funding that we're getting for housing to cover the cost of that. So it's no cost to municipalities for that technical assistance.
Thank you. That was, I'll just make one comment that it was disappointing.
It was.
That the legislature did not extend that.
Yeah, I was on a lot of calls that Wednesday trying to
see if we could move it. It puts a lot of pressure on the zoning departments. And there's certain language in there that
stuff.
Well, yes, it's confusing enough for the public.
Yeah.
And then when you have to, you know,
do it quickly,
yeah, you become easy more.
Which is why I think there is some, there will be some value in this, in our consultant that we have on call to provide additional guidance and support for your municipalities, for your planning staff, for your commissions, to make sure that if there's other additional revisions that, that you want to make, we can certainly be, that our consultant can be a conduit for that work. And they're working with a couple other regions as well, so they will have a pretty significant amount of knowledge of this, of this bill, of the zoning, to assist your great municipal staffs, just as a secondary resource.
Chris, we appreciate that, any help we can get to make sure that, you know, we're doing this correctly. And as we said, when we rush to do something, but we have to do something. It's not like we cannot do it. So.
Yeah. And I will say, we did, you know, House leadership at the state level was very supportive of pushing this date out. They did pass the bill that had the date pushed out in it to June 1st of 2027, which was where we were all hoping it was going to go to. Unfortunately, that bill got tied up in some political wranglings, had nothing to do with housing, and the Senate didn't take it up. So that's kind of where that fell apart. But it was passed out of the House by a wide margin, and it had full support at the House level. We just, there were some other bills that the Senate was trying to run, and it kind of unfortunately got caught up in that that political quagmire, as happens sometimes.
Yeah. Okay. Any more discussion about that item? Hearing none, let's go on to the last discussion item with CPLG.
Yeah, so CBRG, that's the Climate Pollution Reduction Grant that we received from EPA as part of the Inflation Reduction Act that the federal government passed back in 2023, and we have completed our comprehensive climate action plan, which is was due to EPA June 1st of this year. We submitted it March.
There was an original deadline
December 1st,
which we met, and then they extended the deadline to June 1st. We made some just minor updates to the plan, make sure everything's in conformity, and we're planning on resubmitting for the June 1st deadline. But everything from our EPA project officer has indicated that we're good, and you know, plans you know, meets all the requirements. So.
And so we do, so this grant will extend for an additional 2 years. We have funding for staff and for other work over the next 2 year period. We've been coordinating because this project is a MSA, so it's a metropolitan statistical area. So that MSA for our region is basically our COG and West COG together, basically Fairfield County for the most part. So we are coordinating with West COG. We have an idea of a project to kind of conduct over the next year and a half, which was one of the recommendations that came out of the planning work, was to look at energy utilization on municipally owned buildings. So we are going to be working directly with you all, identifying all the municipally owned buildings, doing kind of like energy audits on each one of those buildings so we can get some baseline information about where your current utilization and usage of energy is within each of your municipal buildings. A, to give us some baseline numbers, which we don't currently have, but B, also to give us some benchmarks to look at if you do make upgrades, if we do find funding for conservation upgrades, environmental upgrades, that we can then kind of benchmark what those upgrades have done. And also, you know, sometimes it's very easy to not know exactly what your buildings are using, and there might be very easy ways to mitigate some of that energy usage within your building. So part of it's just kind of putting a larger inventory together for each municipalities on their current utilization of energy, be it electricity, gas, oil, all that. So we'll be reaching out to you and your staffs on that to make sure we have all the buildings identified correctly, and then seeing what we can do to provide data for you all on that. Now, we'll be doing that over the next kind of year and a half or so. We already have sign off from EPA that that's an allowable cost for our grant. So we think it's a good use of the grant money.
That's actually very good timing for Monroe in particular, because we just put together a facility planning committee and we're gathering all the information for all of our buildings. We had an ad hoc committee looking at school development,
mm-hmm.
and we decided to go with the facilities planning committee. But I've looked into a lot of different energy sources as mm-hmm. far as geothermal, solar, obviously. Also cogeneration systems, mm-hmm. but also not only do you have to look at the systems, you have to look at the envelope and yep. the heat loss and so on and so forth. So that's actually good timing. At some point, I'm sure once they get leadership, I'll put you in contact the chairperson, and that could help us look at these buildings as we move forward. So thank you for that.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, any more discussion about that item? Hearing none, let's go on to item 6 of the agenda, which is Executive Session. So can I have a motion to enter into executive session with
I would say all the board members, Patrick and myself.
Great. Can I have someone make that motion, please, to discuss legal issues? Thank you, Mayor Chess. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Terry. Okay, so it is now 10:43, and we're going to move into executive session.